Well, I know as we celebrate Mother's Day this morning, again, we hope all the mothers have a very special day today. But as we celebrate Mother's Day, obviously we're doing it in very difficult days in which we live in. When we look around, we see our nation being systematically and deliberately destroyed politically, morally, economically. When we do see the church, not only persecuted, as we've just mentioned, but in many circles, apostate, that means turning away from the faith, idolatrous. When we see the moral conditions of the nation around us, this is a very difficult time, very difficult season for us to think about such things as Mother's Day. And yet, as we open God's Word this morning, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. We find a woman who lived in a time, quite frankly, even more difficult than the times in which we live in. And yet God used her in a tremendous way that influenced not only her family, not only the nation at large, not only the times in which she lived in, but for generations to follow. And it's a tremendous lesson for us that even in these times, that God will use people who give themselves unto Him. God is still looking for individuals, men and women. Of course, this is Mother's Day, so women are front and center, but the message really applies to all of us, but it is Mother's Day, so we'll look at it from that angle. God is looking for individuals, men and women, that He can use in this generation, not only to influence the immediate times in which we live in, but for the years, the generations to come, and in fact, all of eternity. So look with me as we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And I know we're jumping in not only into the book of 2 Chronicles, but to the events that are there. Understand the historical context of what's taking place. Israel has in fact divided into two nations at this point. The northern kingdom is still referred to as Israel. The southern tribe of Judah has become, we refer to it as the nation of Judah. And this is a horrible time. Israel, you recall, the northern kingdom never had a single good king throughout all of its years. Judah, on the other hand, the southern kingdom, it had a few good kings. Unfortunately, as we open 2 Chronicles 22, this is not one of the period of good kings. In fact, this is a horrible time in their history. King Ahaziah has just been killed. Now, he had been a wicked king. He had been bad. Jehu, who had just become king of the northern kingdom of Israel, had in fact just killed him. But as I've just stated, he had been an evil king anyway. But the reality was, and you get a full glimpse of what this man was like, as we would say down here, he came by it honest, okay? Both from his father, but also his mother. His mother was actually the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, whom you recall, if you study the Old Testament, they are used as the illustration of what a bad king is like. Just like when you read the Old Testament, David is used as the standard and the illustration of what a good king should be like. Ahab and Jezebel are the illustration of what a bad king is like. And so Ahaziah's wife, Athaliah, was in fact their daughter, and she was, you know, chip off the old block, so to speak. Ahaziah, you see what his life is like. 2 Chronicles 22, look at verses 2 through 4. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, which meant that she was actually the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Remember, Ahab led the nation of Israel, that northern kingdom, into tremendous idolatry and disobedience before the Lord. For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. And you think about the significance of that. You know, we usually think about a mother's positive influence on a child. And, you know, we think about a child who may have strayed, wandered off, and how that hurts his mother, who did everything she could to lead him in the right way. Well, this was a mother who did everything she could to lead her son in a sinful, wrong, rebellious way. Notice what we see, verse 4, he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Now Ahaziah, as I've just mentioned a moment ago and tried to summarize it, is killed. Notice what happens when you drop down to verse 10, which is where we begin to pick up the real action of our time this morning. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. In other words, she wants to seize power. She puts to death anybody who could have any kind of claim to that throne, including her own grandchildren, by the way. And there's at least one grandson in the picture. So here, if you want to see just how evil and wicked this person was, you have a woman here who's already led her son in rebellion and disobedience unto the Lord. And then when she gets the opportunity, she herself seizes power and she begins to kill everybody else who can claim the throne, up to and including her own grandchildren, because we know of at least one grandchild who will become kind of a major player in the events we'll look at. You talk about evil, you talk about wicked, this is the woman who is there. We keep reading in verse 11, and we come to that tiny little word that's so significant. We've just talked about those events. I know I went through them quickly, but I was trying to summarize them. But something significant is about to happen here. There was a godly woman. Notice what took place. But Jehoshabeth, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death. In other words, this was her nephew. She intervened and she delivered him from death. Verse 12, he was hidden with them in the house of God 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Again, you see what's taking place. Athaliah, this evil woman, so evil she had led her son to do evil. And then when he was killed in battle, she actually seized power, began putting everyone else who had a legitimate claim to the throne to death. And you get the idea there from that passage that it's not just one grandson, but plural the way it's written there, her own grandchildren to death. That's how evil and wicked and power hungry this woman was. But Jehoshabeth was there. And I want us to consider who changed everything. We're going to look at Jehoshabeth now. We'll look at Jehoiada for Father's Day. We look at the two of them together. I always enjoy looking at couples on Mother's and Father's Day to see both sides of the coin, if you will, the whole equation. But I want us to consider Jehoshabeth this morning. And I want us to consider the lessons that we can learn from her life. Yes, this is Mother's Day and it applies primarily to mothers. The lessons really apply to all of us. What made this woman to be the one who could stand in the gap at a time like that, who would not only influence the immediate time that she was in, but as we will see, the years to come after that? And so look with me. Notice, what is it that we learn from Jehoshabeth? What is it that the woman that God can use, even in days like we're living in, what is it about her? Number one, she trusts the Lord. That is, she puts her complete trust and confidence in who God is. She believes that God is who He says He is. She believes that God will do what He says He will do. And she places her entire dependence upon Him. She rests entirely upon Him. For eternity, yes. For life, for living, for decisions, for circumstances, for events. Think about how we see this. Look again. You look at verse 11 and look at her name. And understand the significance of Old Testament names. I know in our time, in our generation, in our culture, we tend to name people, you know, because we like the way the name sounds, or it's an old family name. You know, we want to keep the monograms the same, whatever the case may be. Understand the significance of Old Testament names. They reveal the person's character. Jehoshabeth, what it simply means, and you can translate it a couple ways, they're very close together. You can translate it, the Lord is an oath, or the Lord's oath. And you might think, well, that sounds kind of strange. You think about the significance of that. First of all, the Lord. Remember, she lives in a time of idolatry. Both Israel and Judah had, in fact, increasingly turned away from the Lord. They had increasingly gone into idolatry. They had increasingly adopted the false gods of the nations around them, gods that were in fact not gods, had no power, except, well, it was demonic power behind it, but in and of themselves had no power. And yet, what is it about this woman? She knew the true living God. She knew who He was and who He is. But you also think about the balance of that name. The Lord's oath, or the Lord is an oath. And again, that might sound kind of strange in our time, but you think about what that's saying. The Lord, the one true God, in contrast to all these idols that the surrounding nations worship and that even our own people have gone after, so to speak, in her times, is real. He is solid. He is true. He is a God. He is the one true living God. He is the God whom you can trust. He's the God in whom you can count on. He is the God who's in fact real. When God says it, you can take it to the bank. God's word is as good as a solemn oath because he is a God who is true. And she based everything in her life upon that God. That's genuine faith. That's what it means to trust. And if we are going to be used by God, we're going to have that same trust. Like Jehoshaphat, we're going to have to know who God really is. This God of the Bible who has revealed himself unto us through his word. We're going to have to know who he is and we're going to have to know what he says. Yes, in terms of salvation, that is only through Jesus Christ. But also in our life and our living that he says, do this, don't do this, follow this, not this. That we base our life and our living entirely upon him. As we sit here this morning, yes, it's Mother's Day, but it's true for all of us. Do you have that same trust, that same reliance, that same dependence upon God that Jehoshaphat did simply by her name? And you think about the testimony of that. I mean, every time she'd introduce herself, you know, what's your name, Jehoshaphat? You think about the culture that she lived in. Every time she said it, it was a witness, a testimony. Every time she said it, it was a marker, if you will, that she served the true living God. As you sit here this morning, have you put your trust, your confidence in this God whom we're before this morning? First of all, most importantly, in salvation, that you have in fact trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he's the only way into salvation, but through him there is salvation from every sin and a salvation that is secure forever. What about in your living, believer? As you think about your life decisions and how you live, is it based upon trust and confidence and reliance on him? You think about that circumstance that you find yourself in this morning, whatever it may be, a decision you're wrestling with, a need that you're facing, a problem that you're going through. Are you trusting God in that situation? And again, whatever it may be, and it's going to vary from person to person, but as you look at that problem, maybe it's a decision or a problem or a need, have you looked from that at that situation and gone to God's word and said, okay, this is what God has said about himself. This is what God says to do in this situation. And I'm going to base everything that I do in this, as I face this situation, upon who he is. Jehoshaphat, the Lord is an oath. The Lord is true. The Lord is real. The Lord is solid. The Lord is dependable. The Lord is faithful. We sung, great is thy faithfulness. I hope we read the lyrics and didn't just mouth them because we've sung them so many times. Jehoshaphat will tell us this morning, yes, he is faithful. You can trust him. But the question is, are we? She trusts the Lord. But notice what else we see about Jehoshaphat. Number two, she obeys the Lord. That trust leads to obedience. In fact, it is, and we don't like to admit this, but it's kind of the acid test for our faith. If we truly believe the Lord, we will obey. And if we're not obeying, it's a reflection that we really don't trust. Jehoshaphat, the Lord is an oath, or the Lord is an oath, the Lord's oath. She trusted him. She stepped out in obedience, just as Joshua would challenge the people in Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you think about how you see this in her life, even in these short, three verses that we look at concerning her life this morning. Look again at verse 11. "But Jehoshabeth, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death." You think about how her obedience is seen here. First of all, intervening simply for this child. This was murder, okay? And Jehoshabeth was going to intervene. Why? Because God's word said, just on a basic level, we'll even talk about the deeper implications in a moment, "Thou shalt not kill." She intervened to protect this child. You think about the fact that she intervened in spite of Athaliah seizing power and taking control. Why? What prompted that? It wasn't just a personality clash. What had God's word clearly stated? Who was supposed to sit on the throne of Judah? A son, that is a male descendant of David. Anyone else was an illegitimate ruler. And so therefore, Athaliah, yes, she may have seized the throne, but she wasn't a legitimate ruler. Jehoshabeth obeyed God's law. Athaliah was not a legitimate king. This order, in spite of the fact that, remember, Athaliah had seized the government, if you will, at this point, and this obviously had the power of the government behind it to kill this child. What was it, though? Jehoshabeth did what? She obeyed God rather than man. She was willing to obey God in spite of what Athaliah had done. Remember, and try to, I know we read this, Sunday morning, it's like an ancient history lesson. Always try to put yourself in the sandals of these characters. This one woman is going up against the government of Judah that had been seized by someone who really did not have the power. But why? Out of obedience to God. Only a son, a male descendant of David, could sit upon the throne of Judah. And even then, even whoever that was, still could only obey God's word, or it was not a legitimate law. What was it John Knox, the Scottish reformer, stated? And it was quoted throughout our American Revolution. Obedience, resistance to tyranny is obedience unto God. Jehoshabeth is an example of that. And you think about the importance of that. Again, I know we read this on Sunday morning. I'm trying for it not to be an ancient history lesson, but you think about the importance of this. You think about the importance. This boy, this one-year-old, when you look at the succeeding verses, you find out he's one year old. This one-year-old boy would have been put to death if it had not been for Jehoshabeth. You think about that. Her obedience unto God saved that life. How applicable that is in our generation as we think about the sanctity of life. And you think about how life has in fact been attacked. Yes, it started with abortion, but if you notice in some circles, it's not just the killing of an unborn child, but in many circles now it's a child who is born. Whether or not that child ought to have the right to live. You think about the way in some circles, those with special needs, the idea of eliminating them is increasing. You think about the aged being marginalized and devalued. Suicide or the doctor-assisted suicide. My friend, you think about Jehoshabeth. In spite of the fact that obviously most people must have gone along or Athaliah would not have been able to reign for the 6 years we find out she reigned, Jehoshabeth said no because God said no. You think about the fact that, again, because Athaliah was not the legitimate ruler, Jehoshabeth's actions made sure that a legitimate son of David would once more sit upon the throne. She saved the line of David. She saved legitimate due process law, if you want to call it that. I'm trying to put it in our times, of the nation of Judah. One woman. You think about that. You get the impression that no one else was intervening in this situation but one woman. Do not ever underestimate the importance of your obedience unto God. But then we think about an even greater implication that we really don't think about when we read this passage. For you see, not only when we talk about a male descendant of David being the only one to legitimately sit upon the throne of Judah, but what else came through that line? The Messiah, the Savior. You begin to see the implication. This is more than just one wicked, power-hungry, evil woman beyond anything we can imagine. But understand the satanic drive behind all of this. This was also an attack, this was not just some power-hungry, wicked old woman wanting to have power and control. This was a satanic attack to snuff out the line of David. Why? Because God had promised through the line of David that the Savior would come. This is no different than when Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male babies in Egypt. This would be no different than in the book of Esther when Haman wanted to put all the Jews to death. What's really drawing all of those individuals are accountable for their sins. I'm not taking away from that. But what's the driving force behind all that? A satanic effort to snuff out the line of the Messiah. And you think about it. What stands in the way? One obedient woman. God's plan of redemption on the line, so to speak. And the only thing that stood in the way of it being snuffed out, and I know God's sovereign, I'm not taking away from that, but the only thing that stood in the way of that God's plan of redemption from being snuffed out was one obedient woman. Her obedience safeguarded God's plan of redemption. This is what I'm saying. It not only influenced, saved the life of that one-year-old boy, and that's all it had done, it would have been commendable and worth us looking at this morning. But more than that, it saved the nation. But more than that, it saved God's plan of redemption. Her act of obedience went from saving one-year-old boy to God's plan of redemption, His eternal plan for the ages. Don't ever devalue a single act of obedience unto the Lord, because it will go farther than you can ever, ever imagine. The woman that God can use, the person, man, woman, boy, or girl that God can use, even in these times, is the person who trusts the Lord and is the person who, in fact, will obey Him. My friend, look at your life this morning. Are you walking in obedience unto the Lord? Are you in your life a Jehoshabeth in whatever role or setting God has put you in? Are you living in faith of Him and a faith that's seen in obedience unto Him? The woman God uses trusts the Lord. Obeys the Lord. But notice as well, number three, proclaims the Lord. And by proclaim, I mean that in the broadest possible sense. Lives as a testimony, witnesses, seeks to nurture. She teaches, grooms, when necessary, warns those around her, salt and light, a witness, shares about Christ. I mean the whole gamut to whomever it is that God puts in her life that she can influence, from her own family outward, all the way around the world, if you will. But she proclaims the Lord. Look again at verses 11 and 12. But Jehoshabeth, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death. And he was hidden with them in the house of God 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. She took Joash to the temple. And you might think, another response is, well, of course she did. That's her home. Where else would she take him? And you might think, well, you know, that was a good, safe place, which it was. Both of those are true, but you think about what else it was. It was a place where he would, in fact, be nurtured in the God, the true God of the Bible that we just talked about. Jehoshaphat brought him to a place where he can, in fact, be nurtured. And you think again of the significance of that. Not only did she, by preserving his life, made sure that a legitimate son, legitimate king, would once more sit upon the throne, but she, in fact, helped nurture him so that he would be a king who would walk in obedience unto the Lord. In fact, is what makes it even more significant is when you do look at the kings of Judah, as I stated before, the northern kingdom of Israel never had a single good king. Judah had a few kings that when we look at their reign overall, they were good. Joash would be one of those good kings. And as long as Jehoiada the priest, Jehoshaphat's husband, was alive, Joash would do the right thing. After the priest died, he strayed and wandered, but we look at his reign, and overall it was still relatively good, so we classify him as a good king. You think about that. Because of Jehoshaphat, not only was a legitimate king back on the throne of Judah, but a king who would in fact be a good king sat upon the throne. Do not ever underestimate the importance of proclaiming the Lord. Again, and I use that in the broadest possible terms, sharing Christ with a non-believer, discipling and mentoring a young believer, warning those in a loving way that they're on the wrong path, whatever it may be. Do not ever underestimate that. Jehoshaphat saved the nation. Not just kept it from going over the cliff, but she was able, in fact, to alter its trajectory so that it would, in fact, have a good king that would sit upon the throne. And yet, what's amazing, again, the more you look at it, the more you see. For you see, not only would Joash be, as we would consider him, a good king, but amazingly enough, and this was kind of unique in the history of Judah when we look at those kings, not only would Joash be a good king, but you know what else? The three kings after him would be good kings. You think about that. Jehoshaphat, her influence stretched out over the next four kings, four generations of kings, if you will. In fact, as you add up the years of their reign, I added up just a few moments ago and thought about it, that's like the next 137 years. You think about that. And again, it's Mother's Day, ladies primarily on focus, but it applies to all of us. By proclaiming the Lord, not only do you influence that one individual today, but your influence can, in fact, reach generations to come. And again, you think of the significance as well, because it would be through that line that the Messiah would come. Her influence actually goes all the way to eternity. You think about that. That is a tremendous thought. It's mind-boggling. This one woman, by this act, when nobody else apparently would do it or nobody else who could do it would do it, she stepped in. Not only did she save the life of that one-year-old, which would be commendable enough, not only did she make sure that a legitimate king of Judah would sit upon the throne, but that that king would in fact be a good king and that the three kings after him would be good kings. For the next 137 years, she influenced the next four generations. You think about that. I don't think there's probably a single one of us in this room who are not concerned about where our nation is. What if we could, in fact, be used by God to pull it back from the edge of the cliff and not just keep it from going over the cliff, but significantly change it for the next four generations? Because that's what Jehoshaphat did. We look at our times, And no doubt all of us are significantly concerned about them. As bad as they are, and I'm not belittling them whatsoever, nor your concerns, they're not nearly as bad as the times that Jehoshaphat lived in. And yet you look at the way that God used her, because she trusted God. She obeyed him. She proclaimed him. You're concerned about our nation? Come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a Jehoshaphat. In the circle that you put me in, the influence that I have, I want to be a Jehoshaphat. God will use you not only for the immediate, not only for the days and months to come, not only for generations to come, but there'll be an eternal significance. The woman is Mother's Day, but it's true for all of us. The woman, the man that God will use, look at Jehoshaphat. In days darker even than what we live in, far darker in fact, and yet God used her to change the nation and influence eternity. Are we willing? Are we desiring to be used in that way? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. O Lord God, for recording in what you did through this incredible woman. And Father, may we, O Lord, learn from her. Father, may we trust you as she did. May we know who you are and know, O God, that you are completely true whenever you say anything. Lord, you are solid, you are dependable, you are reliable, you are faithful. And O God, may our trust to you, O God, not just be something we say, but O God, may it be seen in obedience in the way in which we live our lives. Even that circumstance that we find ourselves in now. And, O God, may we proclaim you. Witnessing, O Lord, to non-believers. Discipling, mentoring young believers. Lord God, building up our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we, O Lord, grow together in you. And yes, O Lord, even warning a world going in the wrong direction. May we proclaim you. And, O Lord God, we ask. Father, we plead for our nation. That, O God, that you would do in this hour, O God, what you did for Judah in that one. That not only, O God, would you keep us from going over the cliff, that you would pull us back from the cliff, but, O God, you would completely change our path for days and weeks and generations to come. May we be, O God, the people that you can use for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.